I wonder if we could just pick up again in John 20. John 20. And we already had verse 17 read to us. I'll just begin at verse 18. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. In just that little precious thing, we've had some very precious things brought before us, very heartwarming. We're reminded of these anticipative statements and the force of them, how they bring it out, to have ourselves occupied with that the fact that the Lord has done the work, that we are here for him, and that wonderful city that's coming. Then, of course, we were this afternoon occupied with that blessed fact that we're going to be in the glory with and like our beloved Son. And we had this mention of the Father in verse 17, very preciously brought before us. And it's significant that it's not until resurrection, it's on the other side of death and resurrection, that the Lord brings out that we can call God Father. My Father and your Father. It's always pointed out, of course, isn't it, that he didn't say our Father, did he? No, our Father. No. My Father and your Father. My God and your God. Very precious, the Lord Jesus, my Father and your Father. This, as we suggested, this is the height of our blessing. Wonderful that we've had our sins forgiven. Blessed indeed that we've been redeemed. We could spend all eternity giving God thanks for having our sins forgiven. We could give another eternity, if that is possible, for being redeemed, justified, reconciled, cleansed, made at peace with God, fit for the presence of God, sanctified as we heard, aren't we? Sanctified. Children, sons, able to call God Father, the height of our blessing, and probably the greatest blessing we have now is the Holy Spirit of God indwelling us, enabling us to enter in and enjoy these blessed things, making them a reality to us. My Father. And then he says, my God. My God. Remember, when he, of course, first said, my God, not recorded in John, but we do have it in Matthew, I think in Mark. And in Mark, well, I think they both actually give it, and it's a Hebrew quotation, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We can never really read that verse, but we're cast down, aren't we? And then to trace through that psalm, the seven enemies that were against the Lord, culminating with, as our dear brother Hal has so helpfully brought out, the oryx, being saved from the horns of the oryx, and which of course is being saved from death itself. My God, my God. And then of course there is another connection in my God, which would take us on to what one of the things our dear brother Arthur has been so helpfully bringing before us in Revelation chapter 3. It says there, him that overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I write upon the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. My God, there we are. my God, in that sequence there. Jerusalem, Jerusalem above, isn't it in Galatians, Jerusalem above, and the heaven of Jerusalem in Hebrews 12. Here we have Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, and then of course into chapter 21, where Arthur was reading, we have Jerusalem itself, isn't it, the holy city. So, my God, these precious considerations of something of the truth that's involved in the Lord's words of my God. Now, here's a very remarkable thing, that the Lord didn't choose to commit this message to one of his disciples or to some man. It's always been a great thing to me. And the force of it really once came to me when I was sitting in the barber's chair. And I think most of you know who the barber was. And, there was a tendency, you see, often, to denigrate sisters, and put them in a very, very lowly place, And dear King it was, he said, it was a sister that got that word. My God and your God. My father and your father. He says, don't let us despise the sisters. He says, they have a role to play. A role to play. What a wonderful commission, isn't it? Dear saints of God. So, dear sisters, be encouraged and helped in these things, Be encouraged and helped in these things, What a wonderful commission. And, if I may speak personally, right from the time I was converted, certainly when I came to break bread, I can thank God for the many dear sisters who've washed my feet and instructed me in the things of Scripture, blessed truths I've learned in conversation with him. And it's a very blessed thing. So don't let's despise the dear sisters, brothers. Mary Magdalene, and she came. Of course, we know elsewhere that out of her went seven devils. So she really was in a very bad way. But the Lord saved her, restored her. And she says, she had seen the Lord. Seen the Lord. Oh, what a great thing it is to see the Lord. Dear saints of God, have you seen the Lord today? I challenge my own heart as well as yours. Wonderful to see the Lord. To see the Lord, to get a glimpse, some special aspect of him. Oh, we reveled, didn't we, with all the wonderful glories that come before him. And think of where we've had touched in Revelation 21, all these various jewels setting out, all the various glories of the Lord Jesus that come out. And I was just thinking, as I spoke recently in New Zealand on that 21st chapter, it says, every gate of one pearl, and the man is given a reed to measure, isn't he? And he measures the height, and the height and the breadth and the length of it. He was told to measure the gates, but we never get the measure of the gates. Have you noticed that? We don't get the measure of the gates. Gates were one pearl. Matthew 13, merchantmen seeking good the pearls, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, that he might obtain that pearl. And one of the most significant features of that heavenly city is these gates of one pearl. The coming generation, the Old Testament saints, the remnant, the Jewish nation restored, the nations, when they see in that city the pearl, and they will be reminded of the price that the Lord did pay, that he might obtain that pearl of great price. They'll be reminded, and there's no measure. No measure on it. No furlong, cubits, miles, kilometres or anything. It's immeasurable. And it's shown in that pearl, and that will be one of the significant features of that city in the coming day. All will be reminded of the price that the Lord did pay to obtain his bride. And so it says the same day at evening, the very same day, his resurrection day, the first day of the week. And dear saints of God, don't we like the first day, isn't it? Don't we love the first day? Oh yes, the old system has gone out and we're on the first day of the week, and we delight on the first day of the week to come around the Saviour. It says, the doors shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. And we like to be around the Lord Jesus, don't we? We've got, as we've been reminded several times, that terrible world outside really bent on trying to do away with Christ, get him down, get him out of sight. And we're in there, we're together around our blessed Lord. And we don't gather ourselves, you know. No. It's significant that on these occasions when it says two or three are gathered, it's passive. It's not active verb. Beloved Mr. Darby says, watch the tenses and the moods of the verbs. And you've got it significant that it's the Lord that gathers. Oh, we think we're gathering, and we do, don't we? We'll have to go after him. Draw me, we will run after thee. We will run after him. Oh, yes. It's the Lord that gathers, isn't it? And then in Acts chapter 20, the disciples were gathered together, says the New Translation. The Lord gathered them. Hebrews chapter 10, forget not the assembling, the gathering yourselves together, as the manner of sin is, and they exhort one another. And then the final gathering, oh, that blessed gathering, dear saints of God. Is that what you're waiting for? Are you on the tiptoe of expectation? I can hear his footsteps on the threshold of the door. Are we ready? Ready? And it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, doesn't it? Our gathering together unto him. Oh, that will be the culmination of it. But in the moment, dear saints of God, this is our greatest and most blessed and precious privilege. The green spot in the wilderness, the drink of the brook in the way, to sit down under his shadow of great delight and find his fruit as ever sweet to his our taste. Yes. Comfort ye me with flagons, stay ye me with raisin cakes. The raisin cakes, the raisins we know is produced, isn't it, by the heat of the sun, the scorching heat of the sun. And our blessed Lord Jesus Christ was in the holocaust of the wrath of God. Oh, we'll never take it in. And the comfort ye me with flagons as we think of his precious blood, hasn't it? Brings us out. I'm not being too fanciful, I don't think, because we have it in 1 Corinthians 11, the cup which we drink, is it not the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is poured out for you. Unreservedly he gave himself, shed his precious blood. Hallelujah, praise his name, the wonderful Saviour is Jesus. Come, and then, so they're gathered together in that upper room. And Jesus, just Jesus alone, not the Lord Jesus, not Jesus Christ, Jesus, that lovely, blessed man, oh, wonderful Jesus, the holy, humble man that walked here for the pleasure of God and went on to Calvary's cross, Jesus. How much that name unfolds to every open here, the pardoned sinner's memory holds none other half so dear the precious name of Jesus, that name in our own which has power. They're not going to bow to it, Lord, or Christ, they're going to bow at the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus will be sufficient to bring every knee to bow to him. The name of Jesus. But it's a precious name to us, isn't it? He stood in the midst. Oh, saints of God, isn't it? We come together to remember him. And he stands in the midst, isn't it? Wonderful and blessed is there in the midst. And peace be unto you. Oh, how precious. Dear saints of God, we're going on the days of the week and we've got this anxiety and that anxiety, this worry, and there's difficulties here and difficulties there, and he's there in the midst. Peace be unto you. Oh, what calmness, quietness to our souls. Peace be unto you. Do you hear that? Do you get that? Is that one of the things you get when you come around him on the Lord's Day morning, dear saints of God? You he'll hear his voice saying, peace be unto you. You set your restfulness and equanimity. Peace be unto you. And then it says, when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Oh, the marks of his passion. There they were. See from his head, his hands, his side, sorrow and love flowed mingled down. There such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown. Hands and his side. And that's what man did to him. Think of the 3 hours of darkness when men pass hurrying by, when he who knew no sin has made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We'll never fathom it, dear saints of God, in all eternity. Eternity far too short to tell the glories of his love, immense and searching. Think of that, his wonderful love, unravelling, unfolding, going on and on. Yes, the depths of his wonderful, precious love. And then there is the answer to it. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And dear saints of God, we are gathered by him to remember him in the breaking of bread and the drinking of the wine. Do we see the Lord? Or is it just a matter of passing a cup round or taking a piece of bread? Do we see the Lord? Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Oh, how precious to see the Lord. So, dear saints of God, that we might even have a foretaste now on the first day of the week at the supper to see the Lord and have our hearts glad. And indeed, as we go on this way and to be led into these deeper and fuller and blessed things, let us value the supreme blessed matter that we have. Wonderful to serve the Lord, you know, in every way. How precious to be in his company. I'm always reminded of Ruth, you know. She got an ephah, didn't she, when she was gleaning in the field. Very necessary to serve the Lord. But when she was at the feet of Boaz, 3 ephahs, 6 measures equal to 3 ephahs. She got more at his feet than she did in the fields. Dear saints of God, keep close to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be like him. Be like Mary in chapter 10 of Luke, at the feet hearing his word. So dear saints of God, just feebly a few words, but I just thought we might be encouraged in these days as we look on, as we had in our reading, to that wonderful scene, that place of glory where we're going to be with and like his beloved Son for God's own heart and glory. Father has decreed it, and there we're going to be with him. But in this time where we're left here, we have to occupy and service for him. But the supreme, most blessed thing is to gather around him on the first day of the week at his supper, the Lord's supper, and sit down at his feet and have him revealing himself to us. It is the Lord in chapter 24 of Matthew, didn't it? Their eyes were opened and they saw the Lord. Oh, dear saints of God, that we might appreciate and enjoy these things more and more while we wait to see his blessed face and hear his voice calling us, "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." Time of the singing of the birds has come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in the land, that we might rise up to go with him, to be conducted into his house forever. May we know more and more of these things, dear saints of God, while we wait to see his blessed face. Amen.
Go to meet the Saviour, his glorious face to see. 397, what manner of behaviour doth with his hope agree? May God's illumination guide heart and walk aright, so our preparation be pleasing in his sight. 397.
Take out.